Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Ted Harrow is the founder of Noonday Ventures. Ted's background includes leading the professional services division of Wilson Learning Worldwide. And he's helped facilitate and implement plans for a variety of well-known organizations in technology, industrial professional services, and nonprofit environments in the U.S. and Western Europe. He also provides leadership coaching for a select group of senior and emerging leaders. And he holds a master's in organization communication from the University of Illinois at Chicago. So you're truly a born and bred and hanging out in the Midwest kind of guy, right, Ted?
I'm actually from the Northeast originally, but I've been in the Midwest for 25 years, so I'm here for the duration.
Awesome. Well, before we get started here, and you've got some interesting things to say, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Noonday is and how you got it started?
Well, we're a consulting firm, and our primary focus is to work with senior leadership teams and help them chart their future. And when we do that, we often end up working with those teams also on how they work together. So the areas of firms we work on are really direction and strategy, and then how to help the senior leadership teams and then leadership teams throughout the organization to make their work as productive as possible. That's what we do.
You said if a team isn't fighting from time to time, the team members are probably lying to each other too much. Now, that's a pretty strong opinion. Why do you feel that way?
You know, it's funny. I got that opinion first by talking with a client, and he said to me over a lunch table that he was just working for a new CEO, a new boss. He was complaining about that boss, as we all do sometimes, and saying, you know, I don't really like her because we don't fight enough. And I sat back and thought, what? Because usually we complain when we do fight with our bosses. But the more I thought about it, I realized he was really right. Because when you're on a team, the only reason to have a team is to get stuff done that individual members can't get done on their own. And that's true whether you're a senior leadership team or if you're on a team anywhere in the organization. And that usually means making decisions, you know, about where to go or about how to get stuff done or where to spend money and resources. And unless you have a genius on the team who can get all the right answers all the time, you're going to have to debate those questions. And that really leads to conflict. And it's good conflict. It's conflict we ought to have. So my thesis is that if you aren't fighting on occasion and having really strong discussions, you're probably just dancing around the issues and lying to each other about how good things are.
I mean, in your experience, how does conflict help a team get to the end state of a better decision? I mean, it seems to me, maybe I'm attending the wrong meetings, but where conflict does arise, it many times it's just circular and you don't resolve anything. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, let's start with the assumption that you don't have anybody on the team who is the genius. If you do have a genius who gets all the right answers all the time, then having conflict is a waste of time. But most of us, the real people in the world, don't have that genius in our team. And so if we're going to get stuff done, we're going to have debates. And those debates are actually really useful in terms of getting stuff done. If we can think of them more as negotiations mm-hmm. and about kind of deliberations instead of just fights, like food fights. Mm-hmm. Think of it as, you know, if you're thinking of this also as trying to help the team be able to accomplish more, it's kind of like lifting weights. You want to try to build the muscle over time by having some smaller conflicts, and then eventually you can really deal with the big decisions that might lead to bigger and more energetic debates over time. So it's really a necessary part of helping that team perform really well and achieve great results.
Okay, so great results, the crucible, it's the heat and fire of disagreement that drives a combined, compromised, great solution. It makes sense to me, you and I talking about it, and if this is so awesome, why don't we have more stories of teams actually doing that?
Right. You can tell me, but my guess from talking to lots of team members and team leaders is that people are just flat out afraid of it. And I've talked to lots of leaders, and they're really deep down afraid that if they really had the debate that needs to be had, that they're going to lose control or that they're going to end up blowing the team apart. And that could become a career-limiting move for them if they have their team blow apart on them. So team leaders kind of want to keep the lid on the kettle a lot. Mm-hmm. And team members are often afraid that if they really say what they think, they're going to create enemies or going to tear each other apart or they're going to get themselves fired. So there's kind of this tacit agreement among people that, you know, I won't rock the boat if you don't rock the boat, and we'll just get along until we move on to a different team.
Okay.
But, of course, you don't actually get stuff done then. You're just dancing around the issues.
Let's say we have some team leader who's listening in right now, and he's saying, yeah, sounds all good and fine, Ted. How can he make sure, or she, make sure that this conflict that you want them to have is productive? What advice can you give them?
you know, I'd say three things. One is prepare for the conflict long before it happens. So as soon as you're shaping your team up and trying to get them to start dealing with tough issues, study your team members. Really think through what really matters to them and what are the buttons that are going to get pushed, and start instilling ground rules for how you relate to each other before you have tension in the room. And build relationships between people so that they see themselves not just as colleagues or members who attend a meeting or are part of a team on an organizational chart, but are real people. So you can prepare people beforehand for what's going to come. And the second thing is you pick the right fights. You want to pick stuff that's important enough that it's going to be worthwhile, but not so much of a stretch for people that it's going to cause this team to break. So, for instance, I've worked with some IT leadership teams or IT teams in the middle of organizations, helping them figure out where to prioritize the resources of the IT organization. That might be a good thing for them to work on. But if they're not a really mature team, asking them to do a restructure of the whole IT organization, which includes laying people off and things like that, that may be more than a team at their current development can handle. So prepare for it. It's pick the right fights. And the last thing is make sure you make the fights you have, especially the first couple, as constructive as possible. And that's usually all about making sure everybody knows, here's the decision we have to make. Here's how we're going to make it. So are we going to make it where we all get a vote, or are we going to make it where you all make a pitch to me and then I'm going to make the decision? So be really clear on rules and roles, and then enforce the ground rules. If you had ground rules before, make sure you keep those ground rules in place. So, you know, as a leader, if you can prepare people for it, pick the right fights and make those fights, especially the early ones, as constructive as possible, you have a good chance of having the debates and the fights you have really get good decisions.
Some people might say, Ted, that you're using just very strong terms for what people already do. Now, is in your mind, are they sugarcoating this idea of the fight or the conflict or something like that? Are they sugarcoating it? Are they putting a happy face on it and thus sort of lessening its energy and removing its passion? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think often people do sugarcoat what's going on, or they don't actually get to the core of what they need to debate. They debate around the fringes, and you see this a lot with teams where they'll have a debate about a decision in the room, but the real debate happens in the hallways because no one really wants to have the real conversation in the room. They want to say, what I'm really worried about or what I really think we ought to do is this, because they know it could be the thing that blows the lid off. And so I think more than sugarcoating, what happens is people just have the real debate and discussion in the hallways. And that's a great symptom of a team that hasn't quite gotten down to doing the really hard work that's going to get their organization to really rock.
Hmm. Okay, suppose somebody who's listening right now is not a team leader. They're just one of the proletariat out there. What's your advice to them?
Yeah, it's really easy to kind of wish that the team leader would get their act together and make sure that things work. The truth is, team members can actually get a lot done. And part of it is that they can not take conflict too personally. So they can say, okay, I'm in the middle of this conversation, this discussion, this debate, and instead of getting myself all sideways with a comment that came at me, I'm going to realize that we're working an issue here, and I'm going to keep focused on being hard on the issue and as much as possible be soft on the people. And that's actually an old adage that Bill Urey from the Negotiation Project at Harvard has talked about for years and years. They can also observe and help enforce the ground rules, model them themselves, and help the leader to say, hey, this is how we agreed we're going to have these conversations. So I just want to remind all of us, as a member of the team, this is what we're doing. Team members actually have a huge leadership role they can play. And when they do that, they don't only provide an assist to the leader, they provide an assist to themselves to make sure that the time they spend isn't a huge waste of time.
Okay, so once again, I'm sort of putting the hat on a person listening to this program, and I'm thinking, it sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like a big hassle, as a matter of fact. I mean, yeah. Why should I do this?
Well, you know, it's a good point. And again, if you have a team that doesn't really have to accomplish big things, don't bother. It's not worth it. But if you're really trying to accomplish something big and important, you're going to have to make big decisions, and conflict is part of the game. And what happens if teams don't work through having good, constructive conflict is they end up at a place I call the crossroads, where they've had a half try at conflict. It hasn't gone great. It hasn't maybe gone awful, but it hasn't gone great. And people in the team start to ask themselves the question, should I really bother investing my energy in this team? Of course, I have to show up to the meetings because my boss is clever enough to know that if I don't show up, I might get fired. But should I really work at this team and what we're trying to accomplish, or should I just go back to my own little space and deal with my own little thing? And that's a bad place for a team to be in, again, because you won't get a whole lot done. And every meeting you go to then is going to be a waste of time. And I've seen it happen too many times. And so the reason to invest in doing good conflict is, if you don't, all those meetings in your calendar are going to be a big, fat waste of time.
And finally, to sort of wrap things up here, Ted, I mean, when does good conflict go bad? I mean, how much is too much?
Yeah, I've seen it. I remember being with a client once where they had had conflict that didn't go well. And by didn't go well, I mean, instead of just saying, I disagree with your ideas, people started to get real personal about it. And it goes from, I disagree on our direction, or I disagree on how even you're doing your job, to I disagree that you're actually a good, trustworthy, good people. And when it gets personal like that, it's really hard. It's possible, but it is really hard to pull that back. So team members and team leaders need to really pay attention to not letting a conflict get to the point of a personal attack, either explicitly in the room or out in the hallways, because once you get there, it takes a lot of time and energy to get that team to be productive again.
We've been speaking to Ted Harrow. Ted, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
on Edgewise.
Dave. Thanks a lot.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.